high level in terms of what were the findings of the public protectors, and we then looked at what has been done to date. We will then be able to also indicate that at this stage, due to the matter that has been provided, the department decided to then take the matter for review. I'm not sure whether you are ready to take the committee on. Please, can I ask that in?
Honourable Chair and DG, can I just get a little bit of guidance? Are we going to take C and D separately, or are we going to take them together?
Together.
Okay. I think then we can. It would be easy to move through the presentation. So as we know, the matters of between SARA and the department have been going on for quite a long time, and what we will briefly go through is just the sort of various timelines and what has happened, and I'll try to be as brief as possible but focus on what the public protector had to say and the department's decisions on that matter. On the 26th of May 2017, the department received correspondence from the Honourable Chair of the Portfolio Committee, and we have attached a lot of annexures, and this is annexure B in the documents that we have attached to the presentation. This correspondence indicated that the Portfolio Committee had received complaints by SARA claiming that officials from the Department of Arts and Culture presented false and dishonest statements to the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture. It was attached as Annexure C. The Portfolio Committee then requested the department to provide a response to the committee on the allegations raised by the South African Roadies Association. The department submitted a response, and that is Annexure D, and it's a letter from the Ministry of Arts and Culture dated 13th of June 2017. The response, as we said, is too voluminous to outline on the presentation, but in this regard we can refer to Annexure D pages 3 to 9. If I can summarize in maybe two or three sentences the nature of some of the allegations and how the department has responded. SARA has accused different individuals within the department, from the former acting DG to the former DDG of Arts and Culture, Promotion and Development, to a DDG Ralepiepie, who is not a DG Ralepiepie, and to a number of people basically accusing the department of being dishonest, in the sense that they've indicated that the department would have promised or said that there is a feasibility study, for instance, being done, whereas SARA argues there was no such thing being done. SARA has indicated that it did not ask for a feasibility study. So there are lots of concerns around Backstage Academy, the feasibility study. There are also concerns around the settlement agreement and the status of the settlement agreement, with the DAC on the one hand indicating that it had tried by all means to honor the settlement agreement, and SARA on the other hand saying that it had not. The other concern, the main concern, has been around the closeness of the DAC and SARA, with SARA actually saying, no, we are not close to the DAC, and the DAC in turn stresses sort of various projects and initiatives of SARA that over the recent years it has supported, and arguing that, yes, we are right to say, as the department, we have been close to SARA. So the nature of the allegations has been a lot, has been really a lot around, I suppose you would say, trust, a matter of trust between SARA and the DAC. And that is why the sort of responses are contained in the letter from the department. But one of the things that the department refers to is the sense that SARA got a lot of the notes from which it constructed its commentary or its analysis and its allegations out of the, I think it was the sort of minutes, if I can call it, of the parliamentary monitoring group. And what the department then went is to sort of listen to the individual, what do you call them, tape recordings. Do we still say tape recordings in this day and age?
Audio.
Listen to the audio recordings. And the audio recordings reflect something different from the sort of, you know, the reports as they were put in the parliamentary monitoring group. So that's, you know, that is what that those are the things that basically come across in those sort of allegations. Therefore, dishonesty and so forth. And the department has tried to the best of its ability to sort of give detailed explanations of each and every allegation made by SARA. So I think if I can move from those details and then continue with the with the briefing report to say that in addition to that, the report from the public protector dated the 19th of the 6th, 2007 refers, and this is also enclosed as Annexure E. The report is titled Report on an Investigation on an Alleged Failure or Undue Delay by the DAC to Implement the Settlement Agreement, signed in terms of Section 64A and B of the Public Protector Act 23 of 1994. As we indicate, the report emanates from a complaint raised by the roadies to the Public Protector, alleging that the DAC failed or unduly delayed to implement the settlement agreement, and the copy of the settlement agreement is also attached as Annexure F. The public protector in turn conducted its own investigation and concluded a report outlining a number of findings and remedial actions to be taken. If we can refer to Annexure E, pages 6 to 11, and those were the issues that were identified through the investigation and the findings thereof. But further to the findings, the public protector issued remedial actions for the department to undertake, and that is on page 7 of the presentation. The DAC, it was addressed to the Director General, and it said that the DAC must provide funding for the renovation of SARA House to the amount of $15 million. The grant amount of $15 million as allocated to the station is a huge amount, which cannot be transferred to a private entity, considering that SARA does not have capacity to implement a renovation of this magnitude. In order to ensure that public funds are spent appropriately and for the purpose it is intended for, DAC must appoint the Development Bank of Southern Africa, DBSA, as a government infrastructure implementing agent to implement and manage the renovation at SARA House. So the funding must be allocated by the department for renovations and must be paid directly to the DBSA within 30 days of the signing of an implementation agreement between DAC and DBSA. The DBSA must further be paid 10% as management fees for the management of the renovations. So with regard to the funding of operational administrative costs of SARA, the public protector said that the minister must amend the white paper on arts, culture and heritage within 3 months of this report to ensure that SARA is not unfairly discriminated against when it comes to the allocation of operational and administrative costs. DAC must further ensure that within 3 months of receipt of this report, a written policy informing this type of funding is developed for future and put in place to align the criteria that should be followed in this funding model. The public protector issues this remedial action against what is perceived as the backdrop of inconsistencies in DAC's approach towards the funding of administrative and operational costs. So this would help the funding model to be more coherent and consistent. The DAC's conclusion in relation to the public protector's recommended remedial action is that the Department of Arts and Culture has studied and discussed the report and has taken a decision to take the matter on review. The public protector has been informed of the department's decision and the review process is ongoing. I think if I could just add that I think it was last week that the department lodged its sort of papers in the High Court. And I think that's all I can say for now. But I think if the DG, I may have left some things out. Thank you.
Well, if you can tell us the basis on which you've sent this for review up. The basis on which you are appealing.
Okay. Let me put these on. Yeah. I think the department is reviewing the remedial action about the sort of alleged failure or delay by the DAC as well, because the department believes that it's not obliged to renovate the property of a third party and a third private party. The department is also requesting a setting aside of the settlement agreement. I think that would sum it up. The rest are sort of more technicalities.
I just
I missed it. The basis. I just wanted to know why. What is the basis on which that is being made?
So I think, honourable member, one of the key issues, are if we go back to the remedial actions that are given the issue just now, if we look at them, there is an assumption that department should be an implementing agency for SARA. The department is willing to give money to SARA,
right,
but not to take responsibility for construction and or renovations of SARA. And the public protector went even further to direct that the department must then go and approach DBSA to be able to implement this particular recommendation or support to SARA, which is outside of the public protector. But further, the public protector went to the extent of saying, well, the department must then be responsible for, if we go to the next slide, that we must make policy within 3 months. And if you look at those things are not doable within that period of 3 months. If you just look at the issue of a written policy informing this type of funding developed future, the model that it is asking us to do would require that we do quite a lot of work around it. So the remedial actions proposed by the public protector and as well as the basis on which she is saying that the department is on the wrong is what we are challenging, because there is no intention not to support SARA as department has done previously in terms of providing funding. but then the public protector bestows upon the department further obligations on SARA.
Honourable Hawthorn.
Chair, I've just got two small questions that I, just for the sake of clarity. One, the first one, I hear the DG saying that the time is too short to develop such a policy. But I do call to mind that the development of such policy was started, or the discussion around policy in this regard was started 2 or 3 years ago, and the department failed in producing such a policy. Hence, this portfolio committee has emphasized the funding policy to be clear and crisp, which will then either include or exclude the entities that fall outside of DAC. But having created a precedent in this regard, the department is under obligation. But now, thirdly, I see the public protectors. My view, what I see is, it is as if the department now sees the report of the remedial action of the public protector as a stick by which they are now being flogged. Instead of looking what are the gaps, where have we erred, what can we do? If you say the policy is short, not to fight, I mean the time to institute or to write such a policy is short, not to fight that, but rather say, right, we need another 3 to 6 months or 12 months to complete this policy. It's not something that cannot be done. That's around the policy. About the others, the department has, let me for argument say, the relationship which has been terminated now with IDT. The department has structures within itself to which it can then say, okay, this is what the public protector say in terms of overseeing renovations. But the department that execute that is IDT. So IDT will then, you delegate that responsibility. But then ultimately you've got the responsibility. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it is not that we should not, because it is becoming, it has been an old sickness of departments, not only of DAC. When an official fights his dismissal and he wins the case, this poor official can't fight anymore. But then you go on review and don't implement what has been found, and so until this official finally gives up. Because the department doesn't want or feels now aggrieved that they have lost. And hence I was just thinking now about the current case now, landmark ruling that happened last week in terms of what was the case now that came, that they I think it was the SABC and the SABC 8 court case, etc. But okay, I've just said my piece in terms of the how do you look at the remedial action that has been put forward.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Just to remind the department that DG, you had an agreement with SARA. You signed the agreement. You signed PP's every page and signed the agreement with SARA. You know, and I think it's on that basis that the public protector has come up with this. It's because of the agreement that you have with SARA. But as the portfolio committee, we don't want to make comments on this. We just wanted to hear from the department why they have decided to take this on review, to appeal this. But the issue of the agreement is something that is there in black and white. And what is the department saying about the agreement that is there, that they have signed with us? What's your take?
Chair, thank you very much. Let me comment first. I'm sure by now some of us, we're really tired of hearing this name. We have been hearing about this name for a long time. In such a way, this morning, I mistakenly thought that the gentleman at the back of Tadun Lima is Freddy. He's a little bit looking like Freddy. I thought you were Freddy in the morning, really. You are a little bit look-alike of Freddy. So, Chairperson, I don't know. I'm just so worried about the addition that perhaps the public protector is putting forward now in this matter. I think we, at some stage as a committee, we agreed, we were of the view that really what they've agreed to do with SARA, they have to go on, but then moving forward, we can't set a precedence in that regard. But I'm a little bit worried about now the addition that the public protector is really putting on the department, and I just wanted to know, what are they going to do? Are they going to take the report for a review? Because these days we see a lot of reviews. Or else are they going to adhere to it and keep on whatever that is there? Because it's now really disturbing. But I don't know. Oh, they've already taken it for a review. So we are... So is it really, Chairperson, right now to discuss this matter if it's for the review?
Remember, we are not discussing it, but they are giving us a report. If you remember, we've never had a formal report from the department on the findings of the... So now they are just briefing us, and we are just asking questions, and we are not going to take any decisions on this. And I think why we are asking some questions and reminding them of some things, we want them to have at the back of their minds, you know, discussions that have taken place, things that they have done, like signing a contract with Freddy. So whatever they do, they are reminded of those areas. But we are not...
Okay, so then my questions will be after the review. For now, I'll really wait for the review, Chair. Then I'll ask questions at that stage. Thank you.
Yes, Honourable Chair, I think all we would want to say at this stage is that we heed the words and the wise counsel of the Honourable members that are present, and we will take this into cognizance going forward, even with the review process. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that, and we wish you all the best. And we are now going to get into... There's this issue on your matters arising. The first issue are the lines of communication. We want to ensure that the communication... We don't have cases where we communicate with the department and the department doesn't know how to communicate with us. As the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, I write only to the minister in the department. I write to the minister. It's upon the people in the minister's office to take, I can copy the DG and the deputy minister so that they are aware of the correspondence. But it's the duty of the people in the DG is the accounting authority there, is the top bureaucrat. So it's definitely when the minister receives the letter and the DG receives the CC, the DG will ensure that things happen, because the minister is the political principal. So he can't go to managers to say, can you do this? So it's important. We've spoken with the DG that they follow up on issues. The minister's office, though, is the one that should acknowledge receipt of the letter. To say, we've received, the minister has received the letter and it's getting attention, whatever. It's important to acknowledge receipt of any correspondence, because that's the first step. That's the first step for you to understand and to be understood by society, by the people, by your stakeholders. When you acknowledge receipt of correspondence, it's very important. And the DG's office must ensure that within a short space of time, within 7 working days, there is a response. It's acknowledged first day, you receive it, you acknowledge immediately. And thereafter, within 7 days, the minister, through the DG, through the minister's office, replied to the letter of the chairperson to say that this is what is happening in this area. And we really are appealing, not for the first time, that when we send things through, we need to get responses. These things we not ask because we are funny. We're not asking because we are funny or because we want to feel that we are there. We're asking because there are people out there who want the information. And we are public representatives. So we are appealing that let's do this, DG, to ensure that we get the information. Who is the PLO in the DG's office? Is there anyone? Oh, okay. So we will be talking to Luduk. Thank you very much for that. I think it's important for us to get that clear. Can we have just briefly a report on the National Heritage Monument? Just briefly, because we were there and there were problems, and we asked Mr. Ndima and Mr. Tambo to sit, because we did sense that there is lack of communication. So we said they must communicate for things to have got where they are now. It's because there was communication, but it didn't have a positive impact. Can we have that brief report on the National Heritage Monument?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, DG. I'm not going to go through the report, because the report that is in front of us, but I'll just get straight to the point. Because, I mean, if you can see, this is just giving a description of what the National Heritage Monument is all about. But maybe I'll pick up from what the Chairperson has indicated, that when we were at the Hoornkloof, there was that discussion that we needed to talk. Of course, myself and Mr. Tambo. But also, I must also indicate that, yes, we did have a brief conversation with Mr. Tambo before we left the site, where we were indicating that our matter is still being looked at by our legal counsel. And, of course, it was not possible for us to proceed with anything until such time that we get that kind of guidance. And we did that. Get that legal counsel. Just in a nutshell, what the legal opinion was indicating was that there needs to be accounting on the part of Mr. Tambo. Just looking at all the amounts of money that have been advanced to him, and I'm amount of 28 million, which was advanced during financial year 2013-2014, an amount of 22 million, which was advanced during the financial year 2015-2016, an amount of 32 million that was agreed to be advanced to the company during the financial years 2016-2017, and that an amount of 15 million was advanced to his company out of that amount of money, but that amount that was outstanding, which we still owe him pending, is 17 million, which is still outstanding. So there was a letter that I sent, in fact I'm just making reference to that letter, that we would need, therefore, in accordance with that legal opinion, get full accounting on all those amounts of money. And then as soon as we get that kind of accounting, we will then make a final determination that we just finalize the matter. If we have to pay the amount of money, we do so. So that's where matters are. We did not attach time frames, but I think if you read the letter, you will see that the idea, I mean, I can just read exactly what it says. It would be appreciated, that's the last sentence. It would be appreciated if you could revert to us sooner than later in order to expedite matters and avoid any further delays. That's the letter that was sent to us today. I haven't, to the best of my knowledge, I really haven't. Sometimes I, because it's not necessarily a person who doesn't respond whenever there are matters, I don't know, because this letter, I'm also just beginning to worry about our systems, because this letter was sent on the 7th of August, 2017. Normally he's very quick to actually respond in our correspondence, but for some reason there hasn't been. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know whether it could be a problem with our systems, but he is the kind of a person who would even make follow-ups wherever there are no responses. Thank you.
Any questions, Honourable Member? Have you picked up the phone to say we've written to you, but you never even acknowledged? Is there a problem?
No, I have not done that. Maybe I think it's one thing that I need to do.
I think it's important for us to do that, just to check, even in the department, in our relationship here, to just say, have you received this? I've sent this, I've emailed you this, have you received it? Just to check, so that we don't, like, say, people are not responding when maybe there is a problem. If you can do that. If there are no questions, can we proceed to the I'm skipping some of the issues here, Jabu. I'll give you those that I have not dealt with, so that we put them in as we are rushing for time. The National Arts Council forensic report, can we have a brief on that?
Chair, I think it's with the National I think the issue of the National Arts Council briefly is about the forensic report that was done by the department regarding the issue of the surplus funding, the policy of the surplus funding, and that policy that was challenged by, again, Mr. Nyatela, to say it is flawed and that there are some there's something that's wrong. I think we discussed this, that the department then did the forensic audit, but then the forensic investigation then proposed that we need to just, NAC needs to change the policy, the funding policy regarding the surplus funding. But we also advise that we need to institute another forensic investigation because of the relationship between the CEO, the past relationship between the CEO and the company that did the forensic investigation. So, Chair, we are still in that process because then we are directed by Minister that we need to institute another forensic investigation so that we have a report that's very objective. But the National Arts Council is in the process of reviewing its surplus funding policy. I think the other issue that was raised with the Portfolio Committee was the issue of, besides the forensic investigation, the issue of officials being charged and purged at the NAC. We've done the report, Chair. I don't know whether it has reached you. Minister has done the, we've done the report for Minister that's supposed to be submitted to the Chair of the Portfolio Committee. The report will be coming with all the details as to why the official was also charged. It's detailed that show that this official has breached the NAC policy in terms of the council charter and breached the conditions of her employment and worked against the best interest of the council and did not perform her duties, that she was negligent. When the Portfolio Committee receives that report, they will really see that she did not do her duties as she was supposed to do, but she was doing other things. The report is not very good, but we will leave it. Once it reaches the Portfolio Committee, they will have access to information and where the official was charged.
I think we'll look at the report when we receive it, but the problem I am having, I don't know about you, Honourable Member, is that this happened after the Portfolio Committee was there. And what is that saying to people who we would tomorrow want them to give us information? What will happen? This is a bad precedent. It's a bad precedent. It is going to actually scare people from giving the Portfolio Committee information for us to do our work. This is what is going to happen, and it's sad that this thing happened after we were there. Why were they not charging her before the Portfolio Committee went there? Why were they not doing it? Honourable Mokgo.
Chairperson, no, thank you. I think in terms of the report, let's wait for the report. Remember here we talk about a worker who has a right, and we'll check the issue of representation, of labor representation, what has happened. And I don't think the department can say that the report is not nice, it's the news. Because remember, one would say that one was a referee and a player. So we are not sure about the fairness of the process. So let's wait for the report. We'll check it. Fortunately, we are from labor, guys, so we'll assist. Because this thing really happened after the Portfolio Committee left. And so it's not for the first time we go to the institution, including PENSAL, it's a thing that has happened. So we can't just say that a company secretary, because of 1, 2, 3, she was not doing her job. The CEO was there, why this thing didn't happen earlier? If somebody is not performing, you can't wait for the Portfolio Committee to go there, then you charge us. So let's check that, and we can't take what is happened, that the department says the person was not doing the job, whatever. So we'll check who constituted the disciplinary hearing, how was the process, you know, she said, how did it, was it fair or what? But we know there was a problem there. Thank you.
Honourable members, and I think it would be good for the department to tell us the story. When you're telling us the story, tell us the whole story. Tell us who, tell us the whole story. Because it will not help you to give a story at piecemeal.
Chair, the details of the other information are not to be disclosed. I think I can have a bilateral with the chairperson regarding the details of that report. That's why Mr. Ndima is... the things that happened, but I agree with Honorable Mokgosi that the report must come to the portfolio committee before I allow check.
And the investigation that was done by the led by the chairperson of the board, was there any investigation that was led by the chairperson of the board?
The chairperson of the board has also written to the minister to say they will be conducting the investigation and they will inform the minister regarding the investigation, regarding all the allegations, regarding the increment of the salary of the CEO, regarding the relationship with the Lalela project, and. So the chairperson has written to the minister to say they are doing the investigation and they will provide the report to the minister.
Okay, let's wait for this report. And as we always say, sometimes when we ask you questions, we ask you things that we know already. When you're busy presenting here, we know already what is happening in an entity. This is what I was telling AG this morning. To say, AG, there are things that are happening in the institution that you give clean audits. The institutions that you give clean audits, there are things that there are shenanigans happening in those institutions. And when it gets out there, you cannot protect it. You cannot protect the institutions that are wrongdoing. You cannot do it. Because there are people, and those people who are in there, they are not doing anything wrong by giving information to the portfolio committee. Tina, we have even a right to subpoena those people to come here and give us information. So you can't hide it. With your NFVF, we told you, Department of Arts and Culture, that there was a person who has was taking money from the bursary fund. We told you. And when we do that, you take us as people who are interfering. Meanwhile, we are opening your eyes to things that you don't see because people have decided that you are not to be told because of the stance you take. I don't know why. Because of the stance you take, the position you are in, but people find it easy to talk to us about things that are happening in your entity. What is happening at Parkhoff as we speak? What's happening at Parkhoff? What's happening at Parkhoff? And we saw it coming, and we told the department, we saw it coming, and it's not that we saw it coming and we kept quiet. We told the department that these are the signs, we are heading for another pencil here, and this is exactly what is happening. And you hear it there, that there is an acting CEO now. Hearing it from other people. We're hearing from other people things that are happening in entities. Try to find a way of having those people who work in entities having confidence in you as the leader. We don't want people to have confidence in us. Ours is an oversight function. We don't want people to come to us. We want people to come to you, but you're not listening to them. You're not giving people your ear. You take sides with people within entities, so people feel that we can't talk to them because they belong to that faction. Because this is what you do. So, we are trying to assist you, but you are making it very difficult for us. We are trying as much as possible to assist the department, because as we always say, if you win, it means government wins. If government wins, it means the society wins. We are assisting you, but you are just throwing it back on our face. Okay.
Regarding Krenkov's chair, we have Mr. Mkiva acting as the CEO, as appointed by the board. There was a special board meeting, and what we've done, we've asked that the post of the CEO should not be filled. The new CEO must be appointed by the board that will be incoming in November, so that the new board can then appoint its own CEO. So we've communicated with the council, and they've responded to say, because we are saying they should not appoint the CEO, then as a council, they've taken a decision then to appoint one of the council members to be the interim CEO until we've constituted a new board.
Are there any comments, honourable members, or questions? Let us then move to the issue of a new game. Just even there, it's just a briefing, because our oversight visit there is for in loco inspection. We're not going there to take decisions or to discuss issues, or we are there to just look at the structure that is there, that has costed the department 123 million. How much?
132 million.
Yes, 120 plus million.
Counting.
We just want to look at the structure and see. But as we asked the other day, to see if it would be good if the department could say this area cost us this much according to the payments that have been made, it would, to give us an idea of just to say this area cost us this much, that area, if that is possible. I don't know. Just briefly.
Chairperson, if you want any unpopular decisions, we can take it now. The opposition is now in the majority here. And then you can blame us in the end of the day, because and then you're not in trouble anymore. So I just say if you want, yeah.
No, thanks very much. Based on the decisions of last meeting, there was then a meeting between the department and IDG to compile the report that was requested. And so that yes, some of the numbers came quite a bit late from our colleagues at IDG. But I'm sure there is still our colleague from IDT who is present, who might assist in terms of just explaining those numbers or talking to those numbers. But the report is addressing particularly the chronology of events and the manner in which the status of the project is at this stage. I will then request that Mr. Liman just take us through on the report. There were questions, Honourable Chair, last week when we were here, around whether we walk away or we investing more. I think the answer to that question was that there is a process we agreed must be undertaken to determine what course of action should happen, because if you have invested a lot of money on that structure, you still have to account. So walking away arbitrarily might create a problem, because it requires also that the conditions were that if we were to leave it as is, we'll have to destroy it and possibly rehabilitate that environment, which will still come at a cost. So the choices are, among others, that we need to look at whether only finish phase one and only work that has already been done without making the department incur any additional cost, except to make sure that which was started is done, or destroy what was already done and rehabilitate the environment, which we think might be too expensive to do, and we might not then justify even the investment already made there. However, Mr. Ndima will be able to then just, in terms of what the committee requested, provide.
Everything, the forensic audit report, honorable members, this is like reading James Hadley Chase. Do you remember those books? It's like reading a novel. It's like, really? Can this thing really happen? I mean, I was like, it's like reading James Hadley Chase. You hardly put it down because, you know, the more you read, the more you want to understand some. So that report, my goodness. Mr. Ndima?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members, DG and colleagues. I will just run through the report. Chairperson, given the fact that we were given a task together with IDT, in fact, where it comes to the actual work packages and the amount of money attached to those work packages, we were really looking forward to IDT also joining us to actually take us through that. We have done a chronology of events that led to where we are. Maybe just to indicate that in terms of the background, on the 31st of August to 1st September 2013, the DAC had a meeting with His Majesty King Goodwill Zwelithini to discuss the Bambata project. Maybe just to provide the context for this. We did the Bambata statue, which was an outstanding matter from 2006, when there was a centenary of the Bambata uprising. So one of the commitments that we had made was that we were going to do the statue. Now, in Greytown, in the town of Greytown, there is the statue of King Dinuzu. And the idea was that this particular statue was going to be placed in the vicinity where the statue of King Dinuzulu is. But we did not then want to do that arbitrarily because of our lessons that we have seen. I mean, if you remember the issue around the statue of King Shaka, the King Shaka Airport. So we're very sensitive to that. So our going down to the palace was to then request that we be allowed to then put the statue there. At this meeting, His Majesty requested the DAC to assist with capital funding for the construction of the cultural arena to host culturally significant ceremonies and functions. The cultural arena is the one that is looking like a stadium, if you remember that day when there were visuals. On 15 October 2013, the Bambata project was the follow-up because there was no time during this meeting because it coincided with the reed dance. So there was a follow-up meeting held between DAC, the Zondi family, the family of Bambata, and then the Royal House in Nongo. And then in this meeting, Her Majesty the Queen requested the feedback from DAC regarding the request by His Majesty for funding of the 2014 reed dance ceremony, 2013 first fruit ceremony, and the capital funding for the cultural arena. The King requested DAC funding for the construction. I was just trying to... Okay.
Sorry, Sumit, we did a lot of this last time.
Okay.
And, we're looking at 5 o'clock, so maybe get to the real big problem.
Yeah,
this is the padding before the problem starts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What you're supposed to be doing is to look, to prepare for the oversight, to say that, like, the what is in this document? I think this document is actually telling us what we want to know, that the your arena, your VIP area, cost this much, and all that information that is there. So that when we get to the site, we are able to look
and be able to make up our minds. I think this is the area that we want. And even there, when we get there, Mr. Zima, we're not there to discuss much, because you've given us a lot of information. We're not there to discuss much, but what we need there is to see the structure. And then after that, we'll come back and say, okay, that which we saw there is worth 128 million, whatever number of millions that have been spent there. And then make our own findings as the committee and our own recommendations. But we just want to have a feel. We want to see the structure. I think it's important. If you can this is the area that we want. The rents and cents and what we've bought with the money that's here. I think if you can go there.
Thank you. That's why I was really just going to be more comfortable if IDT was taking us through this, because they were...
Chairperson, I think it's quite simple. I might be wrong, you know. These are the numbers. The Royal Square is 32 million rand. Is it a 32 million rand square there or not? That's what we ask. And the question is, and I know it's not the easy answer, if there was misuse or where did the money go, then are we doing something about it? Is it an investigation that somebody got a lot of money that he didn't had to get, whatever, you see? Well, yeah, the figures are here, and it's quite, I've never seen a square of 32 million. I would like to go there.
Thank you, Chair. I was just thinking, I was just seeing, paging through this. I will read this document, I will scrutinize it, seeing that the maiden place where the maidens are sleeping will cost about 2 million rand. And last week, with the figures that I saw there, it was estimated at 30 million. So, in lieu of that, one of the things I think the DG just mentioned now, are we going to walk away or doing what? And we need to look at how much will it cost, because there's still here no clear indication that the whole cost of the project, because according to the figures here, it would have been less than 132 million. And now we've not even scratched the surface. The other question that the DJ asked was whether we will just complete phase one, but then again, what will phase one cost? So these are some of the figures and the things that we needed to get here, but maybe we'll get it tomorrow or we have to make up our own minds when you look here and then they will give us, because it will be now a tug here and tug here and having a piecemeal kind of approach to this now, which won't do us any good. Because the people who need to give us the financials are not here, and the DG is neither here nor there in this regard. So we are in limbo at this moment in time.
That's why the meeting today was important for us, because we don't want to go there and discuss these issues there. It would have been better for us, for instance, to get this information to say, if we're saying completion of what is there, how much is it going to cost? And taking into cognizance the money that is within the budget this financial year, you know? And then if we don't have those figures and we go there and we... I just want us not to discuss issues there. And when we are there for in-local inspection to look at the structure. I think what needs to happen then, because we should have been given the information before we go there, but completing it would cost this much. Doing that would cost this much. So that when we are there, when we come back, we don't go back there, we are able to say, as the committee, this is what we are recommending on the basis of, you know. So I think, I don't know if you do have that idea, but to complete this thing, to complete it as the part that is here that now, how much it would cost, as Honorable Paul Bom is saying, and to complete the whole thing, I don't think we need to go to the whole thing. Let's look at just what is there already, so that we can be able to make findings and recommendations, because that's needed when we come back from oversight to say, this is what we have seen, taking what you have told us and what we have seen, we make our findings and recommendations out of that. I think that you can do as the department from now and tomorrow, and then maybe you give us just a pager on Thursday. But those issues are not going to be discussed there. There we are going to see. Then we may need just a slot in a meeting that's coming to say, though we are going to be busy when we come back, but we need to look at the report that you are going to give us, and we would have had the opportunity to look at the structure. Then we'll make our findings and recommendations from that. So I think, honourable members, are you okay if we leave it here? Because there's this information that we need. And the briefing, if any, that we are going to get there should be very short, and maybe most of the chunk of the time should be spent on listening to the stakeholders that are there, because you have given us your presentation and IDT has presented to us, but it's for you to look at this area that was raised by Honorable Melder. Is it really the amount that should have been charged in the first place? So we have that information, we listen to the people there, we look at the structure, then we will make our findings and recommendations. Honorable members, is that okay? At this point, honorable members, I think we will excuse the department. But before we do that,
we think that it's important, departments, to ensure that when you do your orientation with the board, you do it in a manner that's going to ensure that the entities function in a manner that's going to have a positive impact in our community. The entity, we were hoping as the portfolio committee that by this time entities will be doing what they are supposed to do, but definitely that's not the case. And honorable members, you will see when the AG gives us their presentation, things are not good in some areas. Things, department shape up, I won't say or what, shape up, full stop. Full stop, shape up, full stop. I think that you can do more than you are doing. I think you can do more, really. I believe that you can do more. But can you, we are excusing you, and we will see you on Thursday at NUKA and on Friday at KZN Museum, which is a courtesy visit, because they had asked us while they were here, they invited us to come. So it will be just a courtesy visit. We are not going to spend the whole day there. We are just going to look at our minutes. You are excused, members, your officials. Honourable members, what we're going to do with the minutes is that we're going to be given copies, and then in our next meeting we'll adopt them. Just read through, and if there are any changes we'd like to mark. And yes, Ucha is going to give us the minutes. In that case, honourable members, the meeting is adjourned.
No, 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 no,